Welcome to another exciting word from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Do you know about the Holy Spirit? Today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And so the title of the message today is Understanding the Holy Spirit. And so if you guys would get ready, we're going to be going to Acts chapter 19 at some point in this sermon. We may hit a few other scriptures before we get there, but let me catch us up, okay? Now, when a preacher says, and when he refers to the Gospels, he's referring to the first four books of the Bible, of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? So sometimes a preacher might say, you know, the Gospels say, or the harmony of the Gospels, you know. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they give us a picture of the birth, a glimpse of the early life, and then the 3.5 years of ministry that Jesus did during his earthly life. So it covers about 33.5 years, generally speaking. And anytime you want to get a greater picture or a greater perspective of something that happened in the ministry of Jesus, if you can find it in other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, then you can often add some greater perspective and add some other details to the things that are going on. We see Jesus in his lifetime and in his ministry dealing with two main groups of people. He dealt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You may remember that if you have read much in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And sometimes we don't know exactly who these people are. There were several identifiable groups, but the two main religiously motivated political groups were Pharisees and Sadducees. The Pharisees, they believed in angels and demons, life after death, and the resurrection. Okay? These were the Pharisees. The Pharisees followed the law of Moses, but they also added oral traditions to their Bible. So that not only did they know the law of Moses, but they served an evolving God, a God that kept up with the times. And so their oral traditions of the Pharisees many times outweighed the law of Moses. And so, you know, their God kept up with the times, and so they got to add to take into account what, you know, the advancements and keep God from getting outdated, okay? The Sadducees, on the other hand, the Sadducees believed that the soul of a person perished with the body, that when you died, and that was it. They did not believe in angels, didn't believe in demons, didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. Because they didn't believe in life after death. They did, however, believe in the law of Moses. And this is one of the reasons why they were very harsh. Because they believed that God either rewarded or punished you in this life, and then when you died, it was over. So it was kind of interesting. Jesus, you know, told his disciples to not believe either one of them. Hello? Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, don't follow the doctrines or the traditions of men or the doctrines of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. Beware of them, he said. Okay? But Jesus used these two groups of people to remind us the importance of following the Word of God, of making sure that we knew for ourselves not only what God said, but what God meant when he said it. Jesus wanted us to understand. Jesus said, you know, the law says this, but I am telling you this is what God meant. The law says you shall not murder, but I am telling you that when God said that, he intended that you not speak evil of your neighbor. You know, Jesus wanted us to understand what God intended. You see, because, people believe different things. Pharisees one thing, Sadducees another. But let me tell you, just because you believe it does not mean it's true. Woo! If that's all we get today, let's shout glory. I mean, you know that's true because you've been telling other people all the time how wrong they are. You know it's true. Just because you believe something to be true does not make it true. And just because you have been taught something from childhood does not make it the truth. And let me throw this in. Just because you hear it in church does not mean it's true. Pharisees, Sadducees. It's what they were taught from childhood. It's what they heard in church each Sabbath. But that did not make it true. Just because you hear it in church does not mean it will save you. The Word of God is only the Word of God when it is the Word of God. Now, what does that mean? That means that God's Word is only God's Word whenever it means what God meant when he said it. Not what someone else wants to use it to say. You and I both know, and we have to be very conscious not to pick and choose scriptures that support something that we want to promote. Or perhaps to win an argument. We have to be very conscious that we do not selectively quote the Word of God in such a fashion, cherry-picking scriptures to prove our point or to satisfy what we want the Word of God to say or how we want God to feel. You know, selective quotes from the scriptures, they're a dangerous habit. The Bible only tells one story. Every passage and each individual verse must agree with the one story that God is telling. It's a story of redemption. It's not a story of criticism. It's not a story of condemnation. It's not a story of judgment. It is not a story of hatred. It's not a story of revenge. Every time someone uses the scriptures to point at a right to be judgmental and critical and condemning and vengeful, they are misquoting, misusing, misinterpreting the Bible. The one story God is telling is a story of redemption. Do not believe any other revelation. Do not believe any other interpretation except those that point at love and forgiveness and the peace and the joy and the salvation that Jesus offers to all mankind. How can we know that the truth is the truth? How can you know? Well, we must interpret Scripture with Scripture. No Scripture is of any private interpretation. We must interpret Scripture with Scripture. We must not leave any of the details out. They must all go together like a puzzle to tell the story that God wants to tell. And to help us interpret Scripture, we have been given a very gracious gift from God. We have been given the opportunity for the author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God, the guide, the teacher, to come and live in our lives. This is how we can verify and confirm the truth, is that the Holy Spirit of God wants to live on the inside of us in such a dynamic way that we are not fooled by the deceptions and the false doctrines that permeate this world and are taught for doctrine in many places. It is so important that we know what God meant when God said what He said. The teacher and the guide that we have been given is none other than the Holy Spirit. But who is the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? It's kind of a nebulous consideration. If you do not know, if you have not gone to God's Word and searched to find out who this Holy Spirit is, you might not know. You might be left with something someone else said. You might be believing something that's not true, a doctrine of devils, or something that someone has said because they wanted to prove some point. You see, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. It's not an experience. The Holy Spirit is God. God in spirit. I am well aware, like the Sadducees of Jesus' day, that whole denominations do not believe in the Trinity. Some people, they literally do not believe in the Trinity. It's kind of a divisive subject in some denominations, in some families. Whole families have divided over the issue of the Trinity. You know, but truth is not determined by a show of hands. What I'm encouraging you to do today is to go to the Bible and read the Bible for yourself. This is going to be my whole point by the end of this sermon, is to encourage every one of you on campus and online, wherever you may be in the world, for you, this is so important that you need to go to the Bible and read the Bible for yourselves. The whole Bible. Not reaching in your promise box. Not getting your daily verse. But you need to read the whole Bible cover to cover. Even the begats. Not just the promise parts. And you need to make sure that you personally understand. How can I understand? Well, invite the Holy Spirit of God, who the Bible says, if you read it, you will find that God said that the Holy Spirit is given to us to teach us and to guide us into truth. There is an indicator in the life of someone in whom the Holy Spirit is active that this indicator gives us a shining light and confirms the truth of God's Word once we read it for ourselves and disallow the confusion that comes with other people telling us what God says. Every time I preach the Word, you know, you should check it out. I could be wrong. Hello? I could have a point to prove. I could have gotten up angry that day. I might, you know, have an issue that I'm wanting to correct. You don't know. Praise God, I hope not. But how do you, on what do you stake your eternal life? If you were living in the days of Jesus and raised as a Sadducee, would you also believe there is no life after death, there is no spirit, there are no angels, there is no resurrection? Yes, unless you had gone for yourself. If you had been raised a Pharisee, would you believe that the oral traditions allow God to evolve to understand you and meet your need instead of you understanding Him and meeting His need? Yes, unless you went for yourselves to the Word of God. If you're raised a Baptist, you're probably going to believe what the Baptists believe. If you're raised, you know, a Church of Christ, you're probably going to believe what the Church of Christ believe. If you're raised Catholic, you're probably going to believe what the Catholics believe. If you're raised, Assembly of God, you're probably going to believe what the Assembly of God, unless you look for yourselves. Now, any of those may be right, or some things might not be what you imagine them to be. You need to look for yourself. Let me share with you the Trinity very briefly so that you can have a good framework, a good picture on which to understand the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit when you read the Bible. Okay? God the Father. Okay? God the Father. God the Father is the person, the presence, and the voice of the Godhead from creation unto Christ. He was the voice on the earth, in the earth, making covenant with men and women, choosing men and women, making covenant with them so that they would partner with Him to bring about His purpose and plan, which was Messiah. God the Father was the voice, the presence, and the person on the earth, with all authority on the earth, interacting with man from creation to Christ. Then, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. God the Son was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, 33 1/2 years. He was God on the earth. He was the voice, the presence, and the person of God. He was the authority of the Godhead on the earth for 33 1/2 years. He was the one who covered things, who made a way, who did His work. God did His work on the earth from creation to Christ. Jesus did His work for 33 1/2 years. He lived a sinless life. He died an atoning death. He was resurrected on the third day. And then when He ascended up into the heavens, He said, I am with you, but I shall be in you. It is necessary that I go away, because if I do not go back to heaven and sit down at the right hand of my Father and make intercession for you, then the Holy Spirit will not come and have His day. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and filled the lives. He came to inhabit the lives of the born-again believers in that upper room who were calling out to God, crying out for the promise of God to be fulfilled in their life. They were waiting on the Holy Spirit. They were believing God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were asking God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. They were obeying what Jesus had said to them in Luke 24:49. You wait here in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So they tarried in Jerusalem. They waited. Don't be a Pharisee or a Sadducee, and don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Read the Bible for yourself. Okay? Read the Bible. Refuse to allow other people to set the tone of your relationship with God or of your eternal life. Refuse to let someone else, a church or a denomination, refuse to let someone else determine so great a matter that in a million years you will still be alive. Where will you be? What will you do with your time on earth? How can you know unless you read for yourself? We have been given a great gift. The Holy Spirit is now the person, the voice, the presence of God in the earth, and He's in you. You are the promise of God that the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, as Jesus talked about, as the scriptures say, you'll read it when you read it, it is Christ in you that is the hope of God's glory in you. The Holy Spirit came to live in people, in born-again believers who are asking, who are crying out, who are calling out for God to come, for the promise of God to be in their lives. We call this the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Here are a few New Testament examples. Let me just read to you from the scripture, and then you go back and read the whole book, okay? I received this baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1980 after having cried out to God, after having served God faithfully for years. There was yet something missing. There was a power in my life that was yet missing. I knew something was, and I did a dangerous thing. I started reading the Bible for myself, and I decided that I was going to believe what God's Word said, the one story He's telling. Luke 3:16. We know John 3:16. Let's look at Luke 3:16. John answered, this is John the Baptist, saying to everyone that was there, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Have you received the fire of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire in your life? This is what John the Baptist testified. He will. Yeah, many of you, perhaps, who have been born again have been baptized in water, but have you been baptized in fire so that it's like God shut up on the inside of you so that you cannot help yourself, but you're going to tell people about Jesus and the fire of God is consuming you and it will pour out of you rivers of living water out of your belly. Have you received this fire? Read it for yourself. Acts 19, I told you we would get there. I have 3 minutes. Let's read fast. Acts chapter 19. Paul the apostle was in his missionary journey. And the Bible says in verse 1 of Acts 19, and it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, why would Paul ask that question? Where does that fit in your doctrine? Where does that fit in your denomination? Where does that fit you know, in what you believe. He's asking a question. Now, Paul is not stupid. Okay? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Do you know there are a lot of churches today that have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit with all authority, the presence, the power, and the person of God on the earth from the time of the ascension of Christ and the Pentecost all the way until the rapture of the church? The Holy Spirit is God on the earth, and He lived in people. Born again believers. You'll not find it another way. Search the Scriptures. The sad state is that we find much of the church today would have that same answer. We don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Well, the baptism of fire was offered to born-again believers. There's a baptism of fire offered to you today. It'll change your life. It won't make you crazy or silly, and it won't make you, you know, spooky. You don't have to be spooky and crazy, but you need this teacher and guide, this comforter. You need this power and this presence in your life. It's free for the asking. You know, who is the Holy Spirit? As I said, He's the presence, the power, the person of God. He's the glory of God in the earth today. And it's Christ in you, the hope of God's glory. There is an author of this Bible, a teacher, a guide, a comforter, who will indwell you with a fire that will be a strength to you, a comfort to you, that will keep a song going in your life constantly, will give you courage and encouragement, boldness. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus told His disciples, but you shall receive power. To be a witness. Not just power to witness, but a power to live a witness of Christ when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. This morning I'm going to close in prayer by encouraging you to do two things. Number one, read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. Don't put your eternal salvation in the hands of any other person. Don't put the education, the biblical education of your family in the hands of any other person. Don't trust the salvation of your children to a doctrine that you have not read for yourself. Hopefully, you'll find that, you know, you're right in the middle of God's will, and that the power of God is available. This fire to be a witness, to live. It'll make bad things go away. It'll help you wade through the presence of sin in this life. Number one, read it for yourself. Number two, when you find out it's true, ask God, like they did on the day of Pentecost, like they did in Acts 8, like they did in Acts 10, like they did in Acts 19. You know, that the rest of Acts 19, you know what he said? The rest of Acts 19 is that they invited the Holy Spirit into their lives. When they heard this, verse 5, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Wow. This is my prayer. This is my pastoral prayer for you. Number one, that you would read it for yourself. You know, if you want to check out the scriptures I've shared today, you can go to our church app. The notes are there. You can find the church app if you're on campus, that little QR code in front of you. Or you can go to EZ Sermons, easy, EZ Sermons, one word, .com. You can find the notes. You can look it up. Make sure that I've told you the truth. Vet it. Read it for yourself. Number two, when you find out it's true, and you will, invite the Holy Spirit into your life. Some of you are ready to do that right now. Let's just bow our head and let's pray in closing. Father, Lord, all over the world today you are stirring up the Holy Spirit in the church. Lord, in the lives of believers, Lord, I know, Father, that we will hear that this same message and these same things are being said all around the world, all over the earth, Lord. God, because you are saying something to the church by your Holy Spirit. Blessed is he who hears, has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the covenants you made with Abraham and the promises for sending your Son. Thank you. Now, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would show us the truth of your word. Give us the Holy Spirit to help us understand your word. Lord, you've given us, Lord, an opportunity for the author of the Bible to live on the inside of us to interpret the scriptures. Holy Spirit, come into our lives. Fill us. Lord, fill us, Lord, and baptize us with a wisdom, God. Baptize us, Lord, with an ability, Father, to be a witness, and baptize us with a fire that is unquenchable, with a love and a desire that motivates and inspires us. Teach us to be better fathers and mothers and husbands and wives and daughters and sons. Teach us, O mighty God. Lord, let us take Christ to work with us. Holy Spirit, go to work with us, in us, through us. Be kind. Let your presence be known. Anoint us. We ask these things now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another powerful message from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.